like getting married, Nathan.
Careful now.
Exceptionally brilliant for a lot of people, and Mbappe has that quality.
For the best Euro 2020 coverage, subscribe now to the OTB Football Podcast wherever you get your podcasts, and download the OTB Sports app.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetZetGo. Black Box Car Insurance lets young drivers bounce past high-cost premiums. Drive safe and save more with GetZetGo.ie.
OTB AM.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
All right, it's 10 to 9 this morning here on OTBM, this Monday morning, Monday the 14th of June. It is proper championship weather outside, and we're delighted to be talking about the championship when it comes to the GAA. The hashtag Hurling to the Core ambassador, Garrod Hegarty, joins us this morning to talk about the launch of the second series of Bord Gáis Energy's Gaga Box, which features the most passionate hurling fans across the country filmed in their front rooms as they experience the agony and ecstasy of following their county's fortunes from home. You can watch Gaga Box and Bord Gáis Energy's hashtag Hurling to the Core YouTube channel throughout the Senior Hurling Championship. Garrod Hegarty, good morning to you. How you doing?
How's it going, lads?
Yeah, good. It is championship hurling weather. Does it feel like you should be playing championship games at this stage of the year?
Yeah, it does, definitely. It's kind of nice to be back training in summertime and looking forward to championship now in a couple of weeks after last year's, although it was obviously a great championship for us last year, but I definitely prefer hurling at this time of year. I think the majority of people will definitely tell you that. It's much nicer to be playing in training in shorts and t-shirts rather than going out with several layers of gear on. So yeah, it's great to look forward to now in a couple of weeks' time.
It was obviously a completely different experience winning the second All-Ireland from winning the first one. Do you feel any kind of sense of disappointment or loss that you didn't get to do the traditional going around the schools and meeting the kids? Or because you'd done that the first time, did it matter a little bit less that was taken away from you?
I suppose we kind of knew that we weren't going to be able to do that. We kind of knew there was going to be no fans at the All-Ireland final, and we knew that there wasn't going to be massive crowds waiting for us when we came home, etc. So it's not that we were kind of disappointed during it, and I suppose in 2018 we did all that as well, and it is kind of taxing as well in the couple of weeks after the All-Ireland, although obviously it's absolutely unbelievable and that's what you set out to do at the start of the year. It can be taxing after it, trying to get around to every school and make sure everyone's happy and everyone wants a photo with the cups won and so forth. So it was quieter. It was definitely a quieter few weeks after the All-Ireland, but it was definitely an enjoyable couple of weeks, obviously, as well.
There probably comes a stage as well where you get good at winning, I assume, Garrod. Like, I assume the second time around, even if there was no pandemic, might have been a bit easier regardless.
Yeah, definitely. I suppose we would have learned a lot, after 2018 in the celebrations after the final in 2018. Obviously, people were just so overwhelmed with everything, and I suppose we kind of got caught up in it as well in the few weeks and months afterwards. And I'm sure in 2020 it would have been different if there was fans there, but I suppose that's just the way it was last year. And look, all in all, you prefer fans to be at the games. Like, you prefer, if it was to happen again, you prefer the 2018 scenes rather than the 2020 scenes, you know. So with fans getting back to games in the last, obviously there was fans at games yesterday, and hopefully there'll be more fans at games over the next few weeks, and it'll be increasing over the summer. So all players want fans to be at games, you know, so that's why we play the game. You know, you want to see the emotion coming in from the stands and the colour and the noise. You know, you miss the noise. That's one thing that I definitely missed last year. You miss the noise and the buzz when you get to the ground and things like that. So looking forward to it.
It has been noticeable the impact that 500 fans can make. Like, it's kind of transformative.
Yeah, it is. Of course it is. It's kind of, the game's actually extremely different. I found last year, the way the game is played and the way the game is refereed, you can kind of get away with a bit more when there's fans in the ground because there's so much more noise and so on and so forth. So there's definitely way more emotion on game day when there's obviously a full stadium compared to when it's just 15 and 15 and your management team and backroom staff and a couple of lads, there's a couple of subs. So it's nearly a different sport when there's fans in the ground. But obviously the game you grew up loving is the game where there's fans at the stadium. So as I said, Hopefully there'll be some nice attendances at games throughout the summer.
We've obviously talked about the aftermath of winning and the impact that has on the just your ability to get headspace, I suspect, after winning your first All-Ireland and the difference between that and your second. In terms of playing like and the evolution of the game, obviously you now have the experience of being the team that everybody wants to knock off, which, as we've seen over the last decade, has been very, very difficult for teams to go back-to-back. When you're thinking now about what you need to do to make sure that you're actually a better team than last year and therefore a better team than the team who didn't go back-to-back in 2019, what are those conversations about in terms of driving standards and tactical innovations and preparation and rest and recovery and all that kind of stuff? How do you become a better team even than the team that just won the All-Ireland last year?
I suppose it's a good question, but it's kind of the boring answer, unfortunately. For I know it's probably not what you want to hear, but you can't really look too far down the line. Like, you can't be looking months down the line at an All Ireland final in August or All Ireland semi-finals, whatever it is. Like, you just have to focus on week on week, and that's what we do. You know, we focus on we normally have a gym session at the start of the week, and then you have a couple of training sessions on the field, and then you have the weekend, whether that's a match or another training session, and you just have to kind of bring your A game to week on week and make sure when you're going to training that you're well prepared. You'll be just as well prepared going to training as you would be for a match. And that's kind of the way inter-county players are nowadays, that you're preparing so well for training, as well as it's not just preparing well for matches and making sure you get the most out of yourself for training every night. And as I said, I know it's kind of the boring answer, but that's all you can do. You know, you have to focus on the present and focus on getting the most out of yourself every week. And then I suppose you just have to hope that that's enough when you do get to championship time, and especially the later rounds, that you just keep doing what you're doing. You don't have to do anything more than just giving your all at training every week, and hopefully that's enough. You know,
is hurling a more physical game now, Grodd, than it was, say, in 2018?
No, I wouldn't think so. I wouldn't think so. Obviously, strength and conditioning has become a massive part of the game. But I believe that if you look at the Greggy Kenny team in the 2000s and all the All-Irelands they won, like they were just as well strength and conditioned as any team is nowadays. So I don't believe hurling has become more physical than it was maybe 10 years ago. You know, that's just, I know the game is always, it's always evolving. It's always, I suppose, trying to become better. But I don't really see the game that has become too much more physical than it was. If you go back and watch any game in the late 2000s, some of those Kilkenny to Tipperary All-Ireland finals, I wouldn't see too much of a difference between those games and some of the games nowadays. So, I don't believe so, no.
Do you think teams are bringing the physical challenge to you guys more since you've become All-Ireland champions, that target on your back is something that they're trying to meet, both from a hurling skill set point of view, but also trying to test themselves physically and test your mettle? Because there's been a bit of narkiness certainly in the early rounds of the league this year, that it felt to me as if teams were desperately trying to prove to you guys that they were your match physically.
Possibly. I don't know. I'm not in anyone else's camp, so I don't really know what they're talking about coming into a game against us. But I know, for example, last year we were going down to play Tipperary in the championship down in Park Cueve, and they were all Ireland champions, and you do know that you have to go out and try and beat the reigning All-Ireland champions. And that is a massive task. Obviously, they were the All-Ireland champions at the time. And you know that if you can get over the All-Ireland champions, then you do have a great shot of going towards the later rounds of the championship. So, yeah, I suppose possibly that may be something that other teams are talking about in terms of trying to, I don't know, maybe have a target on their back or whatsoever. But as I said, we don't focus on what other teams are trying to do. We just focus on ourselves. And I know maybe that's not what you want to hear.
No, it's interesting because I think all the great teams had that. Like, and I know it always ends up sounding like a cliche, but if you go back to the point we were making earlier on about the Dubs, no one's going to beat Dublin by trying to be Dublin or a copy of Dublin. Kerry are going to beat Dublin by being the best version of Kerry that they can be. And so ultimately that is them, while understanding what the challenge is that the Dubs are going to put down for them, being themselves and the best expression of themselves. And I think that's the success that Limerick have had, is that they've decided this is the style that we're going to play. They've brought great physicality to that, but incredible levels of skill and stick work. And the point you made about Tipperary there is really interesting, because it feels like that mindset has to flip a little bit from being the hunter to the hunted. How do you deal with that from a psychological perspective, where you are now the hunted?
Well, I suppose it's a great compliment to be the hunters. You know, that's what you want to be. You want to be the team that other teams see that you need to beat, that if you are to go late in the All-Ireland Champions, that if you can beat this team, then you have a great chance of going towards the later rounds. And I suppose we do take that as a great compliment, being the current All-Ireland Champions. But as I said, in any year, no matter who the All-Ireland Champions are, if you're coming up against them and you know if you can beat them, then you do have a great chance of going towards the later rounds. But as I said, look, we genuinely don't focus too much on the opposition, no matter who we're playing. It doesn't matter who we're playing. We always just focus on ourselves, as I said, making sure that we're well prepared and that and training as hard as we can. And that's all we do, genuinely. We just focus on ourselves, making sure that when we go to training, that whatever session Paul Kinnark has laid out for us, whether it be in the gym with Mikey Kiley, whatever it is, that we're just focusing on ourselves and trying to be the best we can. And as I said, hopefully that's enough then when you do get to the championship games.
So do you feel that this current Limerick form is the best it can be, Gerard, or where do you feel you're at in terms of your hopes for your championship level?
I think we're getting better. I'm 27 now in August, and I'm nearly one of the older panel members on the team, and I suppose we do have a couple of new lads on the panel as well also. And I believe that we're not trying to stay where we were last year. We're trying to improve on where we were in 2020. And I believe we are getting better all the time, and hopefully we can show that, you know. And as I said, if we just keep focused on ourselves, trying to get better and training every week, well then hopefully we can show that we are improving, you know, because there's still a nice age of players on the panel. As I said, we're still all in kind of a lot of us are still in our mid-20s, and a lot of lads are even younger than that. So we do have a nice blend of youth and experience, and I do believe that we are definitely trying to get better anyway. That's the most important thing. And as I said, hopefully then you can show it.
Why is Paul Kinnark such a good coach?
That's a good question. Look, he's great experience. Look at his CV. He was with Clare obviously they won the All-Ireland in 2013. He was with him for a couple of years. And I suppose you probably have to ask him that question, but I'd imagine that he spends a lot of time preparing sessions. He spends a lot of time, I'm sure, looking into how other teams train, whether that be in hurling or in other sports around the world, in other professional setups. I suppose he just, from what I can see, he's meticulous in his planning in terms of coming to training. And you mentioned it a while ago in terms of that we have a set way to play. And as I said, that's what we do when we go to training. We work on that all the time, in terms of tactics and in terms of how we play. And we just keep working on that over and over and over again. And we're lucky to have him. We're lucky to have him. I've said it several times before. He is a great coach, and that's pretty obvious. I suppose you probably have to ask him that question yourself in terms of how he is such a good coach, but we're just lucky to have him, and it's great. It's great that he is involved with us, you know.
And is it mostly, is there individual stuff that you would be working on with the coaches, or is it mostly in teams and smaller groups so that, you know, you understand the patterns of play? And I suppose we're very interested in this because Paddy Andrews talked a good bit recently about how the Dubs, they focus on catching and kicking and the basic skills, and everybody's kind of, I know you must be doing more than that. And obviously they're doing loads of video work, and there's kind of classroom work and style of play, and there's defence coaches and forwards coaches. And so, we understand that it's very detailed. But from your perspective, do you tend to work more in groups or on individual stuff in training sessions as well?
No, it's absolutely, the vast majority of stuff is working as a team. In terms of the drills that he might set out each night of training. But like, in fairness to Paul is top class, but he's a great team with him as well. He's plenty of help, and we have a great statsman as well in Seanie O'Donnell. And like, in terms of if you kind of want individual, I suppose feedback, you can go to him and you can look at some of your clips and stuff like that. And Paul would also give you some feedback with Seanie. But the vast majority of stuff we do is working together as a group, because realistically, when you go and play a game, it's not individual. You know, you're going out with 14 other lads working together, trying to beat the opposition. So that's the majority of our training. It is working as a team, working as a group, working on different things, you know. So
I have one last question. Just the quality of the contest and the game is something that has been up for debate in the league. And just putting that conversation that was going on there with your point at the start about how it's a different game with supporters there, it feels to me like the championship is going to be a very different championship to the hurling that we've seen in the league, in terms of, you know, the massive scores, all the frees that have been given. What's your take on the rude health or otherwise of how the game is at the moment?
I've been saying it for years. I think hurling has never been in a better position than it ever was. As I said, I think hurling is improving year on year, especially since, and I know it hasn't happened the last couple of years, but with the introduction of the round robin series in the All-Ireland, like, what the supporters want more games, what the players want more games, you know. How do people get better? They get better by playing, or get better by playing more games, getting more experience, playing championship games. So yeah, I think the game is in a great spot. I think there's been a lot of spotlight on there's been a lot of frees, I suppose, in a lot of games in the league, but I don't think it's been as bad in the later rounds of the league. I think the referees are starting to do a great job in a difficult position, because there was a lot of spotlight on them in the early rounds of the league. And I think a lot of common sense has been applied in the later rounds of the league in terms of free counts. If you look at it, it's an assumption, but I would imagine that the free count has reduced from the start of the league to the end of the league. So I think referees have been doing a great job in terms of just applying a bit more common sense in the games later on in the league. And look, I genuinely believe that hurling is in a great position. Look at the competition that'll be in the championship this year. You know, there could be 7 or 8 or 9 teams that could win the All Ireland this year. You know, and I suppose in football, is the football as competitive as the hurling championship? Even though there's way more teams in football, like, it isn't. The hurling championship, in my opinion, is much more competitive than the football championship. You know, so in my opinion, genuinely, I believe hurling is in a great position. And as I said, with a small bit more common sense, I don't believe that there's too much needed to change the game of hurling in terms of rules or officiating anything like that. And I do believe that common sense has been applied a small bit more in the later rounds of the league. And I do believe that the championship this year is looking very, very interesting.
Yeah, I think you're dead right. Listen, Gerard, great to have you on as ever, and we wish you the very best of luck with the championship. Cheers.
Cheers, lads.
Gerard Hegarty there, giving us some thoughts ahead of the start of the championship, and it is to launch the hashtag Hurling to the Core, which is Bord Gáis Energy's Gaga Box. You can watch it on Bord Gáis Energy's hashtag Hurling to the Core YouTube channel throughout the Senior Hurling Championship.
OTB AM.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters. The OTB Podcast Network with GetZetGo. Black Box Car Insurance lets young drivers bounce past high-cost premiums. Drive safe and save more with GetZetGo.ie.